Welcome!
She does this to us all the time.
Wow, would you give me some respect?
Why are you talking like that?
Shut the hell up, Lindsay.
You talking like that for?
Welcome to our show. It's currently like 9 o'clock at night, but apparently, it's almost ten. So that's like late for me. I should be in bed right now, snuggled up next to my husband, reading books,
reading some books.
But instead, I'm here with you, hooligans, and I'm very happy to do so and be so here.
You almost ditched us for a concert, so yeah. Who's going to be out late tonight?
I am still a little sad I didn't ditch you guys for a concert.
But again, you would have been out late, so I don't see your point.
Okay, fine. That's true. Anyways, this is Cutscenes and Cupcakes, the podcast.
We love each other.
If you didn't know that by now.
That's Marley, that's Lindsay, and I'm Steph.
And we have with us...
And we are so excited today to be interviewing our friend, the one and only, B. Ryan Alexander.
And that's not a B. Ryan Alexander, it's Brian Alexander.
It's Brian Alexander Hamilton?
That's a whole other person. That me and Brian can tell you about later on.
Only you and Brian?
Well, it was... A person of interest between me and Brian.
What kind of interest?
I met Brian's clone. And his name was Ryan Hamilton.
Yeah. That is too far-fetched to be real.
And he lived in the same apartment complex. It was crazy. Anyway.
Let's let Brian say hi.
Hello, everybody. Cutscenes and Cupcakes, a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
We're excited to have you back. Yes.
Again. Yes, we have interviewed Brian before.
This time we're going to dive deeper into the mind, the nebulous, the core that is Brian Alexander.
So starting with your childhood.
Tell us your first memory.
How was your relationship with video games?
There we go.
How was my relationship with video games? Okay, it's interesting because I didn't have access to a lot of gaming systems outright or gaming outright. So, interestingly enough, I had to go to a lot of friends' house, and I would you would hear things, you would see Chip and Dale on cartridge, SNES or NES cartridge. But specifically, I had a role model that this is basically the equivalent of my real world Optimus Prime, and so I would go over to Lee's house, and Lee was so much more older than me, so I imagine his perspective having to deal with me was like Mr. Wilson to Dennis the Menace.
Okay. Aww.
So. But it was through that connection that I was introduced to the world of Nintendo. Everything from Mario right up to The Wizard, the movie, I experienced there. And that was my introduction. And I would come back each and every time, to my dwelling, my home, and I'd just be like, Mom, Nintendo, and there's something called Nintendo Power, and I need
more.
So, again, didn't have access, but I knew something was happening. I knew that there was going to be a reckoning of some sort, and sure enough, there was a Christmas. I think it might have been that Christmas where I opened. No. You know what? It wasn't Christmas. It wasn't Christmas because it was much more of a mundane day. I came in and I saw the box. Wow. And maybe it should have been for Christmas, but I already made eye contact with it.
The cat was out of the bag.
Formed a relationship.
And I remember standing on it because I did not want it to. I didn't want it to move. I didn't want it to. It was my way of. I guess it may have been a temper tantrum. However.
Sorry, I'm just a very good visual of you like screaming, and then you're like, I guess it was a temper tantrum.
And I mean, now I'm thinking about it, and I'm just completely because I would tell myself like, man, you're gonna break it, man, get off.
Seriously.
But so the journey became from there. I knew I had the Nintendo, and it became having to hook it up. It finally got hooked up. My dad hooked it up. And would you know, I didn't even get a chance to play it because my dad would literally play my, you know, available hours of the day. So I would literally have to wait until there's, you know, a free moment where I can kind of sneak in and play my own, or I guess what I thought was my own NES. And from there, there was magical Blockbuster nights. There was,
for those of you who are very young,
Blockbuster Video.
Blockbuster, yes. Was a store you go to and rent videos and video games for a weekend up to a week. And it wasn't that expensive and allowed you to watch movies and play games that you didn't have access to.
It was like streaming, but
physical better. Media. Yeah. Physical based.
Sorry, I just had to get in touch with our youths.
That's we have good. Many Gen Xers. No, wait. Well, that's true. We have many Gen Zers who listen to the podcast.
Yeah, and we have to make consider sure that
translating for them because they know how on fleek we are.
Yeah, Blockbuster was the hype. It was.
Wait, bussin'. No, I was going to say bussin', but I'm like, yeah. Wait. Oh, wait. Yeah, no, they'd understand that term.
That's that's what's up. But
for those who don't know what that's what's up, no, I'm just kidding.
From there, there was a lot of, you know, countless Blockbuster video rentals of video games. And then there were countless, you know, friends that would come over and bring their games. And you're just introduced to so much that it was for myself, it was just like an onslaught. I didn't have any hope or any aspiration to beat these games, but it was just, you're at that phase where you're just trying to play as much and pick up the controller as much as you possibly can.
So if you had to narrow it down to your favorite game as a child, just one.
Just
I
one.
Know the answer to
what
this.
What would it be?
As a child?
As a 18 and younger, yes.
I know the answer to this. I know the answer to this. I know the answer to this.
You know the answer to this?
I do. Do you want to say it?
Say it.
Turok.
Turok.
Is it?
Turok is later.
Later. Turok after 18?
Sorry.
No, I just felt that was appropriate, 18.
Lindsay. I thought you were holding something because you like held your fist up like you were holding a knife to my neck. Oh, it was a thumbs down. Well, you didn't go all the way down. It just looked like this. Like it looked like a fist to my neck.
I might be
like,
childish, but I'm
that
not
was
violent.
Violent.
Turok was before 18.
Didn't you say in our last interview with you though that was your favorite game, or am I just totally misremembering that?
That you might be misremembering, but we may need to go back and listen to it because I carry on my person the top 10. Turok was never at the top 10.
Okay. But I must be misremembering.
I remember I was playing it recently, and I do love Turok, Dinosaur Hunter. Turok, Dinosaur Hunter. Based off of a comic. But during that time, two games. Can I only one?
You can do two. I'll allow it.
If you rapid fire, I'll allow the top 10.
Oh,
you said you had it on your person.
Okay, the top 10 is harder. I do have it on my person. The top 5 is on my person. Top 5.
Is this like
person.
A laminated card like in Friends where it's like your
just about just about but this is okay, if we're counting back then, young Brian, the game that affected me that I just my mind couldn't comprehend because it was just blown away was Contra.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So Contra was that just rerouted everything I understood. I have to say Mario was always in the background, but then right after Contra, what ended up happening was I heard the Legend of Zelda music. And I
saw the poster with the sword.
That came later. Oh. That came later. That's Link to the Past.
All right. I'll
but
calm
I
down.
Saw the golden cartridge. And that yeah. made it seem like That's something dope. That I could never touch. And then finally, a friend of mine, we were at I was at a friend's house, and you know, we were playing around, throwing, you know, having pillow fights. It was a messy Saturday morning, and his dad came down, and in the coolest way, just started reading this prologue, this you know, this story about a boy losing his pet frog and how it just, he had to go after his frog, and we didn't know what was going on. I didn't know what was going on, but then my friend, he just started jumping up and down, started screaming, and his dad just kept reading because the excitement. He was riffing off the excitement, and that
is the frog weaving in and out of traffic.
Frog is already subterranean.
Oh, okay.
And we have to go get the frog. And on the way to getting the frog, you find a vehicle that's been left derelict. And you jump in the vehicle and you suit up and you're able to activate it. And that was my introduction to Master Blaster.
Mm-hmm.
And it was never the same after that. That, I think, was the first realization that narrative would affect me so much in gaming.
It's an unfortunate name.
Oh, I think it's the greatest name I've ever heard.
Whoa.
Unbelievable.
I'm sorry. This innocent children's story.
but there you have it. There you have it. Those were the key interactions I had, young Brian had, that would inform my opinion later. Did I answer your question too?
You did.
Okay.
Wait. Is it Blaster Master?
Blaster Master.
Blaster Master. Did you say Master Blaster? Which one did he say?
So whose mind is in the gutter over here?
What did I say?
You said Master Blaster.
Blaster Master.
Okay. Blaster Master. There we go.
Yes.
You said it.
No. But I'm saying, like, you could make that into your, you could wrap your.
Master,
your sense of humor around that in any way, in any direction.
Master Blaster is actually Blaster. No. Master Blaster Jammin' is a song by Stevie Wonder.
Oh, yes, it is. I see what you did
from 1980.
I see what you did.
I thought that was gonna go in a direction. If it was Stephanie behind the wheel of the internet, things would have taken a very sharp turn.
Well, and
south.
I started typing it because I'm such a visual person. So when you said that video game, I was like, I don't know what that is. So I want to like Google it. And I started typing in Master Blaster because that's what you said. And I'm like, this is a song, but then it's suggesting Blaster Master. So I was like, oh, I think that's something different.
Blaster Master.
Blaster Master
video game. I'm so, everyone.
This is
everyone.
Such a pivotal moment. You couldn't remember the
listen
facts.
Listen to me.
It's an honest mistake.
And the Stevie Wonder song is in my summer playlist. So
there we go.
So Blaster Master is the correct name. Title of the game.
Okay. Do you feel like you lived in the golden age of video gaming?
It depends on depends on the perspective. The golden age of gaming, I feel like it's loaded. Because there was so much that came before. I was able to, when I started picking up a controller, I really was able to focus on all the things that had gotten worked out up until that point. So it was so much more, there was so much more fun to be had. And in terms of the way games were presented, the way games were marketed, it was more idealistic. Because there was no limitation as far as what it was, you know, why kids were excited, why you know, the formation. I'll tell you this: the formation of just the gaming community was beginning to happen in a way that was very, you know, friendly neighborhood, schoolyard rich. So. Mm-hmm. You would get that sort of, you know, jolt of passing around a Nintendo Power or, you know, a code written on some binder paper. Things like that.
Genie, Jafar, Aladdin, Abu. That will take you to the Genie's super level.
Up, down, up, down.
Aladdin, SNES.
What is it? Left, right? What's the super?
Konami code?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, especially, like, being pre-internet or even in the early, early days. Like, there, you couldn't go online like you can right now and be like, hey, I'm going to bring this back to Metroid Prime and however I can. Yeah. But, like,
game FAQs.
You can't just, like, nowadays you can be like, hey, I cannot find my route. Like, where am I supposed to go? I'm lost. I've been wandering around forever, because that's the kind of game it is. And I've tried everything everywhere I can go, and I am so frustrated, and I want to be able to keep moving forward, so you Google it.
But back in the day, you talked to your friend, and
exactly.
You sought out the wisdom of the elders, and you're like, I'm in the water temple. My gosh, I've got the long shot, but where do I go?
Exactly.
See, I came like a couple years later. I don't know. We came a few years later. Like, but it was still relevant. It was still that time, like, pre-game FAQs.
You depended on people. You would have that insane, crazy kid, that genius who could draw the map. And you would have a conversation about, okay, this is where you go. And you know, of course, the Nintendo hotline is coming up. All this stuff is coming up. So
Wait.
Nintendo hotline.
A Nintendo hotline?
I haven't heard that that's tingling the back of my brain and, like, some cobwebs just shot out of my ear.
Okay, what is that? Tell us more. I've never heard of it.
So, okay.
Could you text it?
You
could you send it an email?
Absolutely not. What you had to do is...
Facebook DM?
What you...
Two cans with a string tied in between.
You could pay up to 75 cents a minute to get a game, what they called a game counselor, on the line.
What?
To literally read from, you know, their notes, their
best job ever.
Would
you have to pay them for the time to locate their manuals for each specific game?
So, you know, it'd all be, you know, remember that whole toll free, yes, or, you know, it's all inclusive in them.
Okay.
But they would basically walk you through, navigate you through where you are stuck or what you were trying to accomplish. And essentially that was like, you know, that was the mountaintop. You know, if you couldn't get to where you were going in any Nintendo game from, you know, the hotline, then it was impossible.
Wow.
It was impossible. So that's where we
that
get
sounds cool.
Where everything else was happening. So it's just a booming time. It's a new boom. So you're seeing things like, you know, Sonic hit the scene. Sonic the Hedgehog. You're seeing things.
I'm glad you specified which Sonic.
Yeah, I don't want to take this for granted. We're seeing crazy technology. We're seeing, you know, the expose of the Power Glove. We're seeing all these new and I guess reinvented approaches to video games. These new this new outlook on video games, not just from, you know, not just being arcades and sort of specialty hobbies, but family products and that whole formations, you know, every documentary has always laid this out, but it was just a booming time. So not necessarily the golden age,
but
just like a...
Would you consider yourself a boomer then?
No.
I knew she was going to ask.
No. The anticipation on your face, you lose 5 points. You lose 5 points.
Okay, but you guys, I Googled this Nintendo hotline thing, and it suggested that I finish typing in 90s. So this is like a 1990s, like 1990 thing where they like had an advert where they were like asking. They were asking for video game enthusiasts. And like, okay, I gotta show you this picture. Okay, hopefully I don't mess anything up.
Don't unplug the thing recording the episode.
Yes.
So I'm showing them
I'm
showing them a black and white picture of this, like, I'm sorry, nerdy looking guy.
He looks like he's maybe 16.
No,
17.
He's at least 20.
Everyone under 20 looks like a child.
Sorry,
to me,
I can't
okay?
turn it very well. But he's sitting there in front of a like block TV with like a manual and like a video game controller.
Old school headphones with a mic.
Yes. Mm. And like these like maps and charts and stuff. And it's obviously like he has somebody on the phone that he's trying to help this video game.
I want that job so
bad.
Well,
now it's just the internet. So how do you become the internet?
I will figure that out and get back to you.
Did you have a Game Boy and what color was it?
had a Game Boy. I was always, mine was gray, but by choice.
Did you have a Game Boy Color?
Right. Yeah.
I didn't have a Game Boy Color. But I always went for either. Okay, so my Game Boy. I didn't want the any of the, because I remember they did some some pretty interesting choices. They did like the hot yellow and or banana yellow, and they'd had the, remember the see-through?
Yeah, because they did the hot
see-through purple.
They did the yellow.
They had see-through purple.
And they sold it with the
Donkey Kong?
Ponky, no.
Ponky Dong.
Pokemon. They sold it with the Pikachu game.
Okay.
And you can see the brand name that goes with the Pokemon.
What are you saying right now?
They sold...
Are you sure that's water in there? Is that like vodka?
The colors that were yellow were sold with Pokemon with the Pikachu on it. So it made sense to make it yellow because it has Pikachu. I had a purple see-through Game Boy Color. It was the best.
I had watermelon.
I never had one.
And I played Donkey Kong Country for hours on my Game Boy Color.
I played...
And Miss Pac-Man.
I played lots of games.
Yeah.
I had a Ms. Pac-Man like an actual like arcade game, like the upright arcade game. We had
it's not a
game
like in your
I know.
Home.
Yes. We used to have 3 arcade like
now where are
games.
They?
Oh, I have no idea. My parents got rid of them a long time ago.
So you were a popular kid.
I mean, we
weren't
didn't
they
really
in your brother's bedroom, so it's not like we
no,
went in there.
No, they were
with them.
No, they were in the basement, and then when we needed to convert that into a better like storage room and like food storage and stuff, my parents moved it, and well, they got rid of a couple of them because we had one. I wish I could remember what it was. All I know is that you're in like some like plane or spaceship, and you go around and shoot things. I was too young to care. No. I was too young to know what it was, and plus, like, I was like, that's a boy's game. And so I would always want to play Ms. Pac-Man, because it was a girl, is Ms. Pac-Man.
Ms. Pac-Man was revolutionary.
Yeah, and then the other one we had was just, like, a Nintendo, Super Nintendo whatever, and it had, like, 10 games in there, and it had, like, Duck Hunt. Like, you had, like, the gun, like, the little red gun that you pull out and, like, shoot at the...
And the
like
dog.
An arcade cabinet?
Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
So your,
actual
your,
arcade
your family,
cabinets.
You had like, your brother was a Nintendo counselor?
No. Wow, is that how your parents made their millions? By being Nintendo counselors?
Yes, they're very well off. No. No, but yeah, no, we had those. And even like my cousins had the same Nintendo like arcade cabinet. And whenever we'd visit them in Washington State... we would also play it there together. And, like, I just remember that. And they held on to theirs a lot longer than we did. But, I mean, I grew up playing on those. And playing, like, Super Mario Brothers and everything. But I was never good at them. But they were fun. And, yeah, we'd have, like, our neighbors and friends over. And when you and I started, like, hanging out when we were younger, do you remember playing them?
It's approximately 1998. So I don't know. about 15 years ago.
Just about. But yeah, no, it was a lot of fun.
We're losing Stephanie quickly. I do have a question for you, and this is going to be a difficult one. If you could only have one console, what would it be?
Like now, like nowadays in life,
like
where he
like
is
do
now.
I, do I have a cutoff or?
You are in heaven, predestining your life. You get to choose one console that is in your life. The one console your parents buy for you, the one console you buy for yourself,
one
whatever it is.
One console to rule them all.
One console to rule them all, to bind them and bring them together in the darkness. What console?
You can
you
have
said that wrong.
My Wii.
Well, that's because you're thinking of the ring. I'm talking about the console.
Oh, okay. Of course.
Oh, and in the darkness, bind them. So, excuse me. but that's a Zelda thing. I don't know if you knew that. But excuse me, princess.
No, because I didn't play Zelda growing up.
It's actually not even from the game.
A very proficient Link in the timeline. You wouldn't think so, but he was very proficient.
Anyways, all that aside, one console. What do you get? What do you choose? What do you choose?
It's the Nintendo Entertainment System.
I'm actually surprised.
If God in her infinite wisdom said you couldn't have that one, what would be next?
It would be...
I love your crazy eyes as you ask that. Like you found the question to break him.
Is that not the point of this interview?
To break. It would be... I can only... It's the only one, huh?
Come on.
Sega Dreamcast.
Oh. Really?
Yeah.
Again, I'm surprised.
That was difficult. I may have pivoted at the last second, but I mean...
What about...
You were thinking SNES, though, weren't you, for a little bit?
Okay, but, like, what about newer gen consoles?
Newer gen consoles?
Or is that too
past
easy?
Past 15 years, okay.
From now to 2008. Not 2000.
2000 is 15 years ago.
You're 2000 and late.
Stop.
So now I have a, is it the same, is it a different scenario or it's like, or more recent? You said more
just
recent.
2008 yeah, I just want to know what present.
Your more favorite
or
like recent one.
Future.
GameCube for more recent. Up to 2008.
That makes me sad, because everyone says GameCube, and I'm not sad that you're not, that you said GameCube. I'm sad because I didn't have a GameCube, and I missed out.
I can see that.
So this is about me.
I have a quick comment about the GameCube, and I think you guys will find it's funny. So, because I never had a GameCube
it's
either.
It's not funny, you're off the podcast.
I'm dying laughing.
Wow, so much pressure on
I'm going to definitely edit out the, like, nose blow I just did.
So... So I never had a GameCube, and I didn't know anyone that had one except for my one friend from elementary school. Do you remember Francesca Earnshaw?
Yes, Francesca Earnshaw.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't know her, but it's the name of a Hozier song.
No, she lives up on the hill.
Up on my hill?
Anyways. No, on the other hill.
Oh.
But anyway, so she had a GameCube, and I would go and play at her house, but not for the purpose of the GameCube, but it just was there. My one and only memory of the GameCube, the only game I've ever played on it, Monkey Ball.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shout out to Francesca Earnshaw. Yeah.
Shout out to Monkey Ball.
And shout out Monkey to Monkey Ball.
I don't want
to
dox some random person you guys knew.
I don't think it will be a problem. You can bleep out
you
Earnshaw.
You said she lived on the hill.
You can bleep out Earnshaw if it makes you feel better, but I'm just going to keep saying
it's okay.
Earnshaw,
I already doxed
him. So you can bleep out so many things.
I doxed Ryan Hamilton at the beginning of the episode.
Wow.
Do you understand the effect or the Super Monkey Ball is? I mean, that's at this point, it's aged so well.
Has it though?
It has fans. It's still a classic. It's
well,
still
so does Rocket League. But,
I mean, but I also feel like, and so you're gonna hate me for this, but I feel like it's a Mario Kart or like a Mario game ripoff.
Yeah, no, that's, I can, I mean, you know.
Especially because I would play the Mario Kart on the N64, mm-hmm. and, like, that's, like, one of my also earliest memories of, like, gaming, too, and so then I would play Super Monkey Ball with the GameCube with Francesca, and I'm like, why don't you have Mario Kart?
So you didn't like Super Monkey Ball?
No.
Ah.
Because it wasn't Mario Kart.
Okay. But, yeah, Super Monkey Ball would go on to, that was one of the titles that defined the GameCube. Interestingly enough, however, you know, talk about Mario Kart. So you guys never got to Mario Kart Double Dash on GameCube? Mario Kart Double Dash on GameCube, still one of my all-time favorite Mario Karts.
What about it is your favorite?
So Double Dash was unique in that you would play in your kart, you have two drivers or two passengers. One to actually drive and then someone who is... You know, your
artillery.
Backup, who throws items. And when things got interesting, you could switch positions. And, you know, your artillery is now your driver, and you're over here trying to figure out how to keep, you know, everybody at bay.
They need to bring that back.
Absolutely.
They gotta put that into the Mario Kart 8 Infinite.
They shouldn't just re-release some old arenas for Mario Kart and call it an upgrade.
The arenas.
And charge full price for it?
Yeah. Nintendo, we have your number.
We have your hotline number. For your, what was it, counselors?
counselors, Nintendo.
I feel like they should change it like Nintendo profiteers.
Okay, I gotta
tell. Like prophetesses. Profits.
Going back. Are they trying to earn money?
No. Fine.
I mean, they do earn money.
What were you saying, Brian?
Okay, I said the NES.
Yes.
Oh.
I am gonna change it to the Super NES. Super Nintendo Entertainment.
SNES. That's what I thought.
SNES.
All of that.
What are the if you had your Super Nintendo and you went to a desert island and you could only bring four games? What are those four games?
Rapid fire.
You only have 2 seconds to decide. You're running out of the house. The house is burning. You need to grab your games. What are they?
Number four.
The Death of
Not in order. They don't have to be in order.
Oh, they don't have to be in order. Okay. The Death and Return of Superman.
Number three.
Star Fox.
Number two.
Super Mario World.
Number one.
F-Zero.
What would you say to people who think the Superman game is not very good? Namely my husband.
They're talking about the...
The wrong one.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
They're talking about the N64 one, right?
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
I don't know enough about it to make any more comments.
When does that ever stop you?
I've never heard you stop there. I was going to say, like, I've never... That was a rare moment. I'm really glad we have it on tape.
Yeah. Wow.
Hey now. I know when to stop.
Hey now.
You're bright red. That means you're lying.
Got him. We love you, Steph.
And the purpose of this podcast is complete.
We can be done. Thank you, Brian. Just kidding. I'm kidding.
Trade F-Zero for Punch Out.
Oh. That's not allowed.
All right, when does Link to the Punch Past out come? When does Link to the bottom of the
ocean? I'm still understanding.
And no one can ever Link play to the past. It again.
I appreciate it.
All right.
But it's
we,
didn't we beat it?
We did.
Turtle Rock, the whole thing.
I'm still with it. It's still Secret of Mana.
What would you say to people who would say that retro games are lesser games?
Why are you... I've never said that. Why are you looking at me with side eyes? She's trying to start
Stephanie's
something.
Stephanie's trying to stir some stuff up. It's not working.
We're not giving it. You're not getting this soup.
Guys, I'm going to just cut this off. Brian.
No!
Real quick.
What's up?
If there is an indication or if there is a feeling out there that retro games are lesser than, I would remind or I would take the time to point out that everything that you understand about what you do consider to be your where you live or what you enjoy the most, some aspect of design came from a retro game that you possibly have no desire to see or no desire to play.
You can look at Marley while you answer this if you'd like to.
You're the one who asked.
The fun part.
You brought this up.
The fun part is realizing that. And this is ultimately what I feel is what makes video games timeless, is that everything from the first text-based game has relevancy in design right up to what will be or what is currently happening in Baldur's Gate. Is it three or four? So that to me is essentially what I will always point people to or have them realize or maybe suggest they examine, because in order to get where, you know, obviously where you're running, where you love, where you're you know absorbing and you know taking it all in at your pace, go back and play an earlier iteration or play the games that may look or may be a little hard to look at, and I guarantee you will find something will connect to you or connect for you that will put you right back in the game that you're currently playing, and you will say to yourself, that's how they did that.
Yeah.
The magic of what it feels like to reload in GoldenEye 007, I promise you, is present in any approach taken to Call of Duty. That's what is important. That's what we can't forget.
I love it.
Very well said.
Eloquent AF. Why? Unlike my response just now.
Well, in retro games, they're like, they're the pioneers of gaming. That's literally why they exist, is like, we needed to start somewhere in order to get where we are today.
Why do you think we asked you on the podcast talking about retro games specifically?
Knowing you. I think you are somewhat jealous, or maybe just not quite ready to admit that I'm an actual 80s kid. But no, I have no idea what.
I still hold to the fact that I was probably conceived in the 80s, but I did not get birthed in the 80s.
Why did you have me on your show?
The way you talk about things. Like what you just did prior to, you know, shooting back at Stephanie, all of her, you know, the shenanigans. We love your passion for gaming. If I can answer this, and you guys can take your turns. We love your passion for gaming, and you have a unique passion for not retro game, like for all gaming, but also part of that is older games and retro games or vintage games or
old school
games. Old school game, whatever you want to call it.
Right on.
You have a special, you, the way you tell your stories and stuff, like it's clear that there is a special place in your heart for these games, and that's what we want to hear, because I don't know, like, I missed out on a lot of it. I didn't have a GameCube. I didn't have an NES.
Are we still on about the fact you didn't have a damn GameCube, Lindsay?
We will never be off that fact. But, yeah, like, I'm just saying, like, I really appreciate your perspective, and I really appreciate your eloquence about it. And you also have your EAE experience, which is all-encompassing of how these games are built from the beginning. Marley, you're blinking a lot. Are you okay?
Yeah, no, I just got stuck staring into space for a second, and my contacts got dry.
Oh, okay.
I'm just listening. Like, this is all great stuff.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for having me, and as long as I can, and as long as you will have me, I will get your back the best way I can.
It's been since season two. I looked it up. So,
oh my gosh, really?
We should do this more often.
I know. No, when we were kind of shooting around ideas for games that we wanted to cover over these next few months, and we thought about you know, kind of making August a like retro month. Like when we were thinking of our interview episode, all of us, like, first person we thought of was you.
And who better to play Street Fighter with? Like, we came up with, like, oh, well, what else? What have we not played recently? What type of game have we not played recently? We haven't played a fighter in forever. So, first fighter that comes to mind is Street Fighter. And
it was just who is better to, yeah,
it was just this beautiful bubble of synergy.
And right now we're all hugging and crying a little bit.
Just Steph. She's the crier.
As we stuff our faces with cupcakes.
We actually did have cupcakes tonight. We haven't done that in a hot minute.
They were so good.
It's from
Give a shout out.
Sprinkle. Berry? I'll go look
berry
it up.
Berry me sprinkle?
Nope.
No, sprinkleberry.
I think it is sprinkleberry.
She's going to go look.
The strawberry was phenomenal.
The red velvet was also very good.
Oh, the lemon.
Sprinkleberry by Raquel in Clearfield, Utah. Shout out for your delicious cupcakes.
The lemon mm-hmm. was amazing.
Yeah, and I had the carrot cake, which you don't really think of a carrot cake cupcake, but it was a bomb.
Bomb. Fire. Fleek.
Stop.
Bussin'.
I'm
going to find a way to use that term in every episode we do from now on.
Except
we didn't last time. Dang it.
Oh, yeah.
Lindsay will go back and edit bussin'.
Bussin'? There he goes.
Yeah, could you leave me a few takes?
Bussin'. Bussin'.
Can you be a little more sure? Like,
you guys, we have so many different podcasts on our network, Age of Geek Media. We talk about all the things, and we would love to have suggestions if you have any, like, pop culture ideas of episodes you would like us to hear us talk about. So, and please join us on the Discord channel, discord.ageofgeek.com.
She got it right.
Woohoo!
She did. First try.
But until next time, why don't you...
Grab a friend! I wanted to do it first.
Eat some cupcakes.
No, we have to do it again. All right, the last one. Yeah. No, we want the cupcakes.
Right, okay.
Grab a friend.
eat some cupcakes
and play some video games.
Yay! All right, bye everyone.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Brian. I know we didn't even thank you. Well, keep that.
Damn it, we're the worst. We're still rolling. All right, now we're not. Rolling, bye. Rolling.
This has been an Age of Geek Media production.